Genesis 49:1-29. Jacob blessing his sons. Actually, he's more than blessing his sons. He's blessing the tribes of Israel. Then Jacob called for his sons and said, "Gather round so that I can tell you what will happen to you in days to come." And then he begins to pronounce the blessings upon them. Now we've seen this principle of the blessing several times in our passage through Genesis. We're living in the patriarchal period. This is the age of when these patriarchs have the right and the power to bestow blessing upon others. Jacob is not speaking simply as a man here, nor simply as a parent, although he is doing that. He's not simply a preacher here, although he is preaching. He is a prophet here. He is a priest. He is a patriarch. And he is actually bestowing verbally. But it will come to pass actually by God's power. Jacob is bestowing blessings upon his sons and upon the tribes of Israel. This is not some vague pleasantry, some goodwill gesture of an old and dying man. This is a man who is blessing the people. Verse 26, "Your father's blessings are greater than the blessings of the ancient mountains, than the bounty of the age-old hills." Let all these rest on the head of Joseph and so on. These are the blessings that God will bestow upon the tribes of Israel. It is the tribes too. Yes, verse 1, "Gather round so that I can tell you what will happen to you, as boys, yes, as sons, yes, but to your descendants in days to come." That's what it's about, verse 28. Jacob blessed the tribes of Israel here. I notice that his work is a solemn work. "Assemble and listen, sons of Jacob. Listen to your father Israel." There's a calling here. There's an assembling here. There's a solemnity, I think, about this. And all the things he says to these sons are distinct, direct, and appropriate for each of them. Indeed, in verse 28, the words "each" and "appropriate" are used. The blessing was for each of them, and it was appropriate to them. I notice that he was a convicting speaker here. He called a spade a spade. For example, when dealing with Reuben, when dealing with Simeon and Levi, I'm referring to verses 3 and 4 and 5 to 7, he's actually blunt about their sins. "Well, Reuben, you're as turbulent as the waters. You will no longer excel, for you went up onto your father's bed, onto my couch, and defiled it. You sinned, my boy." You see? Verse 4. Take verse 5. "Simeon and Levi are brothers. Their swords are weapons of violence. Let me not enter their council. Let me not join their assembly. For they have killed men in their anger and hamstrung oxen as they pleased. Cursed be their anger so fierce and their fury so cruel. I will scatter them in Jacob and disperse them in Israel." Yes, this man is blunt here, distinct, convicting. He speaks of sin and of judgment. He's not joking his way through his last hours. Notice also that in the course of these blessings, he speaks of the Messiah, of the Christ. Verse 10, "The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nations is his. This is a prophecy of the Christ here. The land is also mentioned. Zebulun, for example, verse 13. Zebulun will live by the seashore and become a haven for ships. His border will extend towards Sidon. And of course he speaks of God here, God Almighty, verses 24 to 26. The hand of the mighty one of Jacob, the shepherd, the rock of Israel, your father's God who helps you, the Almighty, the Shaddai, who blesses you with the blessings of the heavens above, blessings of the deep that lies below, blessings of the breast and womb. Your father's blessings are greater than the blessings of the ancient mountains, than the bounty of the age-old hills. And he's speaking of God's blessing above all. Jacob is saying all this to these men individually and to the tribes. He is speaking as a patriarch, a priest, a prophet, a parent, a preacher. And I see several lessons here. One, I see the great history of the covenants being moved on here. We've heard Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Now Jacob is blessing the 12 tribes of Israel. The next great step will, of course, be the Mosaic covenant, leading to the nation of Israel, the law of God revealed to Israel. And all that goes with that, leading on to the Davidic covenant, the climax coming with the Christ himself and the new covenant. All that is being played out here. Make no mistake, it's not some vague, jokey pleasantry at the end of his life from Jacob. No, no. This is not a nice goodwill session so the boys can look back with warm glow. No, no, no. This is a solemn asseveration in covenant history. But I see lessons here for me as a preacher. I must be distinct and clear and solemn and convicting when I preach. I'm not there to make jokes and make people laugh. I'm not saying there's no humor in the Word of God. Of course there is. But I'm not there to crack jokes as a stand-up comic. I'm there to preach the Word, a convicting Word. The Spirit convicts men of sin and so on. That's his great work when he comes to sinners, regenerating them. Jacob gives me these lessons here. A spade, a spade. He preaches about Christ too. Above all, I want to preach Christ. After all, I live in the days of the new covenant. And I've seen now this covenant history leading to the Christ. All my preaching must lead up to Christ and his glory, and the covenant that he brought in, and therefore to the glory of God in Christ. And preach God and the glory of God, the majesty of God, as Jacob did. These are valuable lessons, brothers and sisters, to us as believers. We're all preachers. Let us take these lessons home to ourselves. Be serious, solemn, distinct, clear, convicting in our testimony for God, pointing to the Christ, leading men to God, showing men their smallness, their sin, their need of Christ, and above all, preaching for the glory of God in their conversion. Well, these are the lessons I see in the blessings that Jacob gives. When he blessed them, giving each the blessing appropriate to him, the tribes of Israel. Unbeliever, of course, you're outside of all this. You probably don't care about that. What's all this mean to me? My friend, not to be in covenant with God through Christ is to perish. And although you can't see it, what's happening in Genesis 49 is laying the groundwork, in fact laying the next course of bricks in this building, leading to the final glory of God in Christ in the new covenant. And until you know your place in that covenant in Christ, until you can say that you are in Christ and Christ is in you by faith, Not only you're outside of all this, you will never see the kingdom, and you will perish in everlasting torment forever. There is no need for it. Come in from the cold. Come in from the dark. Come in from the night. Come into the light of the gospel in Jesus Christ, and come now.